Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor of Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. What if you discovered you only had 1 month to live? What would you do to make each day really matter? What would you start doing or what would you stop doing? What would you focus on? If we knew we only had 1 month to live, it might help us focus on being passionate, fully alive, and living without regrets. In this series, we'll discover four key principles that Jesus models that will help us live a full and blessed life. If you'd like to join us for services or learn more about us, check us out at pccwired.org.
We're talking about living passionately today, and to help us get started with that, we're going to interview three of my friends up here. So we're going to ask my lovely assistant and our children's minister and my wife, Robin, here is gonna help me. Let's have you introduce yourself.
I'm Jessica.
Jessica.
I'm Gavin Butcher.
And I'm Kayla.
Cool. And we were talking backstage, and it was kind of a lot of fun. But I want to have Kayla. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your dog, your puppy that you were just telling me backstage?
Well, she likes to chew everything up.
So what happened with your shoes?
She chewed them up, and so we had to get more.
So these are new shoes that you're wearing, right? So she was telling me about that. And Gavin was telling me a little bit about a dog that you know. Tell us a little bit about Hope.
Well, my friends have a dog, and she is called Hope. She was nice, but now she is worse than she used to be.
And compared to the dog on Marley and Me, how did you describe Hope?
An angel.
An angel. So, Jessica, what is your favorite thing to do at home? Your favorite thing to play with?
Barbies.
And what's your favorite color?
Pink.
What's your second favorite color?
Purple.
What's your third favorite color?
Green.
Green, all right. But your favorite is?
Pink.
Yeah, let's not forget that. So, Gavin, my man, what is your favorite thing to do with your dad?
Wrestle.
Yeah? Yeah, and how often does this happen?
Well, it happened yesterday, and, well, I got very beat up in the arm, and it hurt very much.
Okay.
Do you ever beat your dad when you wrestle?
No.
You keep trying.
You will someday.
Kayla, what's some of the things you like most about school?
Probably social studies.
I've always been confused when I was in social studies. What do you actually learn in social studies?
History past.
Ah, there you go. And what do you like least about school?
Math.
Okay, is your teacher here?
No.
Oh, okay. Just let me check.
Making sure.
Let's see, Gavin, tell us what do you like to do when you're at home? You were talking a little bit about your video games. What are some of your favorites?
One of my favorites is the PlayStation 2.
And what's your favorite game?
Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Yeah. Can you beat your dad on that?
Yes.
And what is your favorite game on your Leapster?
Princesses.
Yeah. And didn't you say you also have a Star Wars on your Leapster?
No. I just like it.
Oh, you just like it. Yeah. But you've seen all the Star Wars movies?
Yes.
And who's your favorite character?
Leia and Padme.
Yeah. The princesses, of course. Of course.
And do you have a favorite music you like to listen to, Kayla? Favorite song?
Probably Blessed Be the Name.
I mean, wasn't that your favorite too?
Yeah.
And what are some of your favorite groups that you like to listen to, like on Kayla?
Family Force 5.
Are they your most favorite?
My most favorite is Newsboys.
Okay, good choice. Job.
And speaking of songs, do you think you could sing that song for us that you did last night? Yes, sing a little bit of it.
Jesus loves me, yes I know, for the Bible tells me.
is so good.
To him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Yeah. All right. Let's give him a big hand. Say bye, Mom. Find Mom and say bye.
Bye, Dad.
Hop on off. Follow Miss Robin there. Oh, they are so much fun. As we start talking about living passionately, it's nothing like seeing passion through the eyes of a child and seeing how they live. We're talking about 1 month to live, and last week, Glenn introduced our series and got us all thinking and stirred us up and said, what would happen if you found out you had 30 days? How would that challenge you? How would that cause you to live differently? What are the things in your life that you would examine? And part of the discussion that we want to have in living passionately is, how do you live a no-regrets life? Because it doesn't do you any good to have all this passion if you, at the end of it, you are full of regret. God's given us one life. How are we going to use that? How are we going to experience all that God wants us to? How do we live that out? And so condensing that down and putting it into a 30-day package, saying what would change? How would I stop saying someday and start saying now? Right now, I wanna take this 30-day challenge and learn to live passionately. You know, when I first became a parent, I had the opportunity to relook at childhood. My oldest daughter is now 15, and when she was just a year to year and a half, she started this fascination with the moon. It didn't matter if it was daytime or nighttime, and she could spot the moon if it was a sliver, just barely visible in the daytime sky, she would spot the moon. And she would look up and she'd point at the moon and go, Minder moon! Minder moon! And we would just start laughing and smiling and just beginning to see life the way she was seeing life. This new person embracing God's creation, seeing it from this fresh perspective. And it gave me a chance to look at life and be reminded that life wasn't all the things and all about all my choices. God had given us some opportunities that sometimes we miss because we get so stressed and we get so weighed down and we get so down a road of our own making that we forget about the passion that God's given us to enjoy His creation, to see life His way. There was a time that And I know my daughter had no idea the heart attack she gave me because she loved birds and she loved to chase birds. Anytime, anywhere, didn't matter, the street, wherever they were, she saw them land, she went after them. And I can remember being at the Phoenix Zoo, ready to order food, standing in line, and I did the parent peripheral vision thing, you know, where you just make sure you see around here somewhere, there she is checking in, and I'm looking in, trying to figure out what we're going to order for the whole family, and she's running around, and next thing I know, she's not there. And those of you who have experienced those moments, you totally understand how the heart drops and the blood pressure goes up. And I begin to scan the immediate neighborhood. There's no one there. I mean, she's not there. There's people in line, people sitting, and I keep looking further and further. And about 150, 200 feet away, she's running after a flock of pigeons that have landed. And just a big smile, running as fast as her little legs would carry her, enjoying every moment of it, having no idea what she was putting me through. But just enjoying and celebrating life that way. And that gives me a chance to look at life and go, wow, you know, it's not just about ordering food and standing in line and having to get this and juggling all these drinks and all this food and getting the order right. I don't want to miss what's happening around me. I don't want to miss what is really going on and the things that God has invited us to see that create in our hearts this passion that He's intended. If you'll grab your Bibles, we'll look at Luke chapter 18, which is just an incredible chapter and an opportunity that Jesus takes in three very short verses to radically alter the people around him, alter their worldview. And he's been doing this whole chapter. If you look at the beginning of the chapter, he tells a parable about justice and encouraging people to continue to pursue justice and that God will answer. And then he follows that up by talking about humility. And it's not about being religious as the Sadducee is, but it's talking about being humble as the tax collector who understood his sin and his shortcomings and how he approached God with his humble heart. And then following these three verses, a man comes to him and wants to know, what do I have to do? And Jesus tells him, well, if you want the kingdom, follow, you know the law. Yes, I've done all those things. Well, then sell everything, because the kingdom is more valuable than all of the riches you have. And in the sandwiched in between there, this whole challenge of their worldview, sandwiched in between, is this experience with kids. And Jesus uses it to challenge our worldview and our perspective. People were bringing babies, in verse 15, to Jesus to have him touch them. They begin to wonder what they've heard about Jesus and why they were bringing their children, their babies. Were they looking for an opportunity to have their children blessed by Jesus? Did they bring him to say, my child will just have a better life if this master will touch them? For whatever reason, these parents are coming and they've been compelled for some reason to bring their children, to have Jesus lay hands and touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. Now the disciples have been walking with Jesus, learning from him, having their whole life turned upside down. They've given up everything to follow him. And in the process, I imagine that they've come to a point of thinking, it's my job, it's our job to protect Jesus, to protect the Lord. Keep him, allow him to stay focused on what's most important. And in the midst of this, Jesus sees what's going on. And Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me. That changes everything for the adults in that culture, because children were not considered, they're second class citizens. The men really were the first class citizens. Everybody else was second class. The sons were a little higher class than the daughters and the wives, but children in general were considered something for someone else to teach. And then when they grow up to be men, then now we'll include them in our club. And so Jesus says, no, let them come. All of these people must have really wrestled, especially these Sadducees, these religious leaders who were so full of themselves and thought how important it is to teach and to be learned and to have all this scholarly language and to be able to lead people in God's ways. And now you're talking about children? You want to hang out with the children? You want the children to approach you? Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now Jesus really shifts in making it personal. Three short little verses, but he begins to really target who they are in their hearts. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. What does that mean? How does the kingdom of God belong to little children who don't even have the Torah memorized? Who don't even know all of the things that you're supposed to know to be a good religious person? How does the kingdom of God belong to them? I tell you the truth, Jesus says, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God will never enter it. Jesus' time in which he walked the earth and hit the worldview he was facing was one that said, here's all of the things, the rules you have to follow. Do all of these things and you will be considered a good person and you will inherit what God has. And he says, no. It's about receiving the kingdom like a child. Can you imagine Jesus? I mean, what did he see? These children came up to him and he picked them up. Now you've got to understand Jesus' perspective. How does he see you and I? Oftentimes we see children or other people as a nuisance. They get in our way to get to our objective. Jesus picks up these children. I have this mental picture of him raising these children and throwing them up in the air and catching them and watching them just belly laugh. Looking into their eyes and seeing the deep, incredible love and passion of his Father, the Creator. And being able to connect with his Father while he's looking into the eyes of this innocent child. And Jesus, as he's playing, as he's laughing, as he's goofing around with the kids, as they're playing duck, duck, goose in the middle of it, he looks up at them and he doesn't even look at these people. He goes, unless you receive the kingdom like these little children, you will never enter it. And he's playing a game and goofing around and having a great time. And letting the other people just hear what's happening. You know, funny things happen that remind us of what's really important and how we receive like a child. A few weeks ago, just before Ed Harrow was taking 6 weeks in Africa, a trip to Africa for 6 weeks, he brought his grandson in, Mitchell, who's 5. And he brought him into the office, and we're all doing our thing, and my door's open. He walks by, and I knew it's like 2 days before Ed's leaving, so he's trying to get the last few details done, and he's spending some time with his grandson, and Mitchell walks by, and they stop, and they say hello, and I go, hi, Mitchell, what are you doing? And he just kind of looks at me and goes, say, hey, you want to play? And he just looks at me, like, what do you mean? I said, want to play? And I pick up my little Nerf gun, and I said, want to go shoot your grandpa? Yes, big smile, big eyes, and so I give it to him, and he can't quite get it cocked, and let me help you. Go get him. So he runs down, he hears little tiny little feet on the tile, runs down, and next thing you hear, Ed going, ah! And he comes running back, and need some help? Let me get that ready for you again. Go. So this goes on until he's out of bullets and he comes back. Big grin. And I say, was that fun? This is more fun. You know, I pull out the 50 shooter here and said, pump it up for him and said, all right, now go get Grandpa. And Grandpa's saying, go shoot Roger, go shoot Roger. No, he doesn't shoot the one who's giving him the guns. So he goes down. Next thing you know, I hear this thing going off like a machine gun in his office, and Ed screaming, having a great time. So he comes back. He's putting all the bullets back in. I said, let's go get Pastor Bill. So we go over to Pastor Bill's office, and I give him this big gun, and I take the little gun, and we open up the door, and he starts unloading, and, well, Bill's got a gun. He reaches down and grabs his gun. Bill takes one shot, hits the poor boy in the eye. But we reload and let him shoot Bill again, and all is good. And he continues. And we go back to my office, and I look at him, and I say, we're just having just a great time. And I said, would you like a Reese's peanut butter cup? Yes, please. There you go. His ability to receive opened up the door for me to give. And the more he received, the more joy I had and the more I wanted to give. It's a simple illustration, but it is so right for us to understand how our Father wants to bless us. He wants us to experience life passionately. He wants to just give that to us. And the more we learn to receive, the more we learn to focus on what he has in store for us, and open up our heart to receive it, the more he just smiles at us and pours into our lives. As we become and we receive the kingdom like little children, we get to inherit it. I think that's, for me, the secret of living passionately. It's not about running off and doing the most exciting things, though that can be very much a part of it. But it's about celebrating the sacred moments, the little times, the experiences that we have to connect with others, and receiving the joy that comes from that. A few weeks ago, when we had the 24-hour prayer room here on the East Tucson campus, and my daughter, my oldest daughter, and I went through that. She's now 15, not chasing birds. But she sure loves nature. But we went through this prayer room, and after about 45 minutes, we were in the big room and had going through some of the stations. She just walked up to me, walked across the room, and grabbed a hold of me and gave me a hug. I thought, oh, this is sweet, and I gave her a hug. And usually our hugs last, you know, the hug time, regulation hug time. And I started to release. She didn't release. Well, I didn't either. I said, honey, I'm going to hug you as long as you want to be held. And we enjoyed the sweetest moment, father to daughter, in the midst of this intimate prayer time with God. Incredible moment of passion, of living life, connecting with God in a way that no adrenaline rush will do. Learning to live life passionately. That's what this part of the challenge, the beginning of our challenge, is all about. So we want to encourage you here to take the challenge. To take this challenge to live life passionately. And right now, since we have another campus down in Sierra Vista, Sierra Vista does their own challenge time. And right now I'm going to hand it off to Sierra Vista so that they can finish up this and make their challenge very practical for them. The rest of us, I want to challenge you with this. You got 30 days. Keep that in mind, because if you don't think about that 30 days, it's kind of hard to get started because, oh, someday syndrome sets in. Someday. Well, I want to help illustrate this a little further by introducing Scott Lockaby. Excuse me. Scott is a man who has made room in his life to experience the passions in his heart. And I just want you to hear a little bit from him. Scott, welcome. Tell us a little about your family.
Roberta, my wife, 17 years. And two boys now, Bryson 4 and Braden 2.
So they keep you busy.
They are energy all the time.
That's good. Two little boys, I can't imagine. So you tell us where you work and tell us what you've been doing with school.
I work at IBM. I've been an engineer for a number of years, manage a team of manufacturing engineers for IBM now. This June, I'll receive my bachelor's in engineering, 25-year plan.
Nice. Anybody beat that record, 25 years? That's pretty good.
Hindsight, it would have been better before the boys, but hey.
So you've been having to balance quite a few things.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your vision for your boys and what you're doing to make that happen.
My vision for the boys is to be comfortable in nature and with people. So I spend as much time as I can with them in nature, in the mountains.
Now, when you say as much time, tell us about how you intentionally make time to do that and how often.
We're in the desert, close to home. Usually every day, sometimes twice a day, morning and evening. We're out in the mountains at least once a week, try to do it a couple times a week. Not like I used to do before the boys.
Right. It's different.
You know, yeah, we're looking at bugs and, you know, playing in the grass and sticks, throwing rocks in the water. It's a little different. We still hike and go places where people see us on their trail and they are a little shocked to see a two-year-old trucking as far as he is, but, you know, they love it. Anytime I'm working on something, they're there with me, working on a car, working in the house, volunteering somewhere.
You just drag them along.
They're there. It takes a little longer. Painting's a little messier. But we do it.
Yeah.
You know, always with them.
So tell us what you have made room for in your life here and how you serve in this family, Pantano.
Pantano, the children's ministry. It's an incredible ministry. We feel very privileged to be here and be part of it. Robin is incredible. She misses nothing, no age group. There's something for everyone, always. And she's always looking out for the volunteers. I do what I can. I work currently with First Steps and toddlers. Started that when Bryson was small. Inexperienced, you know, I needed to learn a little bit about
that's,
kids.
That's right. That's good. It's a good place to learn.
But so we've got that down. I do anything else I can. Keep the buggies going. Keep the playground clean. Pull
so
weeds.
The,
throw
the,
rocks.
When the buggy has a blowout, you're the man.
Yeah.
There's no weeds in our playground, in the big playground, because you're making sure that those stay away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every other Sunday, I'm working in First Steps or toddlers, and we need more volunteers. It doesn't matter. Parents, grandparents, mm-hmm. Anyone who has an interest in children, we can always use more people.
Let me ask you this. How has working with the kids allowed you to experience God's love and passion?
Oh, they're all different. You know, every child is different. But one thing about all of them is they're all special. And they all have something unique to share of how God is blessing them, how they see you, how they see me, how they see themselves and each other.
Good.
And it's always fun. I mean, there are challenges, you know, there are challenges, but there's nothing like being around children.
Okay. Scott, thank you so much for being here and sharing your life and your heart and your ministry with us. This challenge about living passionately means for us, we've got to make room. We've got to make room in our own life. And that season starts right now. Right now. Not tomorrow. Not later. Not someday. Not when if, what if, when this finishes. And Scott didn't wait till he was done with school to start working and loving and serving and living out his passion. Make room right now. Right now. Start now. And some of you are asking, well, I don't, how do I start? What do I do? How I don't know. This becomes the challenge for us. Some of you know exactly what you're passionate about. You could say right now, I have never done this, but I really want to. I've wanted to do this since I was 10 years old. And I've never done it. My encouragement to you is do it. Start now. Whatever you have to do to live that out, start, begin, go. And others of you are like, I don't even have the slightest clue where to begin. I would encourage you to surround yourself and just write out 5 questions that you can't answer and go interview 10 people that you look at and go, that person is living with passion. I want to see next week a bunch of people with clipboards walking around church interviewing other people you see. It's like, hey, you know, I don't quite understand. Can you help me out? You look like you're really having a good time in life. Can I ask you a couple questions? That's what we're here for. To walk with each other. Join a life group and ask them. Say, help me along in this journey. Because I want to live life to the full. I want to receive God's kingdom as a child. Next week, we're going to have open baptisms. Time for you to say, and in this week, you might discover the reason I'm not living passionately is I'm trying to do it all myself. And I need to live life different. I need to say, Jesus, I want to live this with you, not just with me. I want to learn to receive from you. And it may be that that's the humbling of your heart that needs to take place so that you can enter in to that relationship with him. As we get ready for communion, this was one of the quotes that comes through the material of One Month to Live. And I looked at this and I went, this is This describes for me what communion is all about. Life is not measured by the breaths we take. We do count years and we count days and we count weeks and all those things, but that's not how life is not measured by us breathing. It's measured by the moments that take our breath away. Jesus, his willingness to play with little children and to sacrifice himself for my sin is a moment for me that just takes my breath away. Absolutely takes my breath. How could our creating God love me that much? And then to see the empty tomb and know that his sacrifice was complete. That's how we experience communion and understanding the power of God. And so as the trays are passed and you take the bread and the juice and you pray through that and allow God to take your breath away. And then the offering is going to come around, and I want to ask you to ask yourself this. Do you use your money, your resources? Have you learned to give passionately, but have you learned to give your resources in such a way that people experience passion? They live life with passion because of you, because of how you share, because of what you give away. Serve Tucson coming up is one of those things that we do here. One of the ways that we leverage our resources to help others live passionately. And that's the question that we get to ask ourselves. Why do I give, and what am I giving it to? And how are other people experiencing the fullness of this relationship with God? Let's pray. God, we are humbled and honored to be in your presence, knowing, Father, that you gave everything else up when you gave up your son to come. To come and love us and to be a sacrifice for our sin. Jesus, we embrace that life that you've given us. We are overwhelmed and just breathless, knowing how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.